Like many gay boys who love musical theater, J. Tyler Whitmer followed his dreams of being on stage, and at the age of 11, got cast as the lead in Oliver the Musical.
That little orphan boy who asked, "Please, sir, may I have some more?" grew up to be a fierce actor, singer, and dancer. And one day on a whim, J. Tyler posted a photo of himself drinking his morning coffee in his well-lit bedroom, and it captured the imagination of folks on Instagram.
Today, photographer, performer, and hashtag Instagay, J. Tyler Whitmer joins us to talk about his unlikely career as a sex symbol with a passion for design.
Plus, working as a backup dancer for Sherry Vine and Pandora Box.
How to best photograph your box for folks on the net.
And what about that photo of him with It Gets Better's Dan Savage's husband, Terry Miller?
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Feast of Fun is made possible because of fabulous people just like you. Thank you. Unlock a delicious world of podcasting magic and listen to thousands of amazing shows at feastoffun.com/plus.
Our guest today is musical theater actor, singer, dancer, and Instagram model, J. Tyler Whitmer, who's managed to turn his bedroom selfies in his underwear into an art form. Welcome to Feast of Fun.
Thank you.
Now, do I call you Jay or J. Tyler?
You can call me either. My name is Jay.
Okay.
But a lot of people call me J. Tyler.
The letter J.
The letter J.
Does the J stand for something?
It doesn't. This is a conversation I have all the time.
Well, now you can tell thousands of people.
Yes.
It's just J.
It's just the letter J. My grandfather's name was the letter R, which is how my parents got the idea for, like, a one-letter first name.
That's a really white thing.
Right? It's, like, very waspy.
Yeah. Was it hard growing up with just a letter as a name?
It wasn't, because I went by JT.
Oh.
They wanted one of their kids to go by initials. And so I didn't start going by J until I graduated college.
And where originally are you from?
Champaign, Illinois.
Oh, you're Midwestern boy.
Yes, not as fancy as it sounds.
I think it's a Champaign has a lot of...
It's not bubbly down there.
It's not bubbly. It's cute.
No, I would never move. A lot of college students.
Yes, yes.
Lots of college trade.
I mean, I will say Champaign is separate from the university, so I never felt like... It did feel different. There is like a small city, but I mean... There's not a ton.
And did you get to? I hear it was easy to sneak into the gay bar in Champaign, Illinois.
I mean, if I was out, I would have tried. But yes,
you know,
I've heard that like 16, 15 year olds.
Yeah, they're like, just go. You just go through
the back door. Chester Street.
It's not there anymore, though.
What?
It's closed. Chester Street is no more. Gay bars are dying.
Oh my god, that's so sad.
Yeah,
I had no idea.
J. Tyler, I am so thrilled that after years, I've been begging you to come on the show.
I've been begging you.
No, you haven't.
Okay.
And because I think your story is really fascinating, and I'm really glad that we're able to finally start telling this. I mean, really a remarkable story of a Midwestern boy who had, you know, stars in his eyes and fell in love with musical theater. And then now you find yourself as this, like, Instagram hunk. And you've launched this really, like, huge brand and people adore your Instagram channel.
Thank you. It's actually nice to hear you say that because it doesn't always feel that way.
I know. Believe me, I'm doing this right now. And I'm like, it's not the most glamorous job to be in media or show business.
Right.
Show business is still business and a job is still a job.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know about your first experience when it felt new, fresh, and exciting for you. Tell me about the first big show you got cast in.
Okay, I actually love the story. So I was 11, I think. I was in sixth grade. And my mom is a singer, and we grew up listening to cast recordings and, like, the Cabbage Patch Kids. We weren't, like, a normal family that listened to the Beatles. So our community theater was doing Oliver, and it was around Mother's Day. And for Mother's Day, my mom was like, okay, all I want is for the entire family to go on down and audition for Oliver.
How old were you at this time?
11.
Okay.
Sixth grade. Very young. Chubby. So we went down. We all auditioned. I ended up booking the title role.
Oh, wow.
And my dad wasn't in it, but everyone else in my family was in the show. My brother, my sister, and my mother.
You're the boy in the show that goes, please, sir,
please, sir,
can I have some more? More? You want more?
That is me. That's my famous line. Yeah, so I did that.
Consider yourself Right, consider yourself at home. Babe. Consider yourself part of the family.
I like that version. Right?
Let's remount it. That's a song, right, from Oliver.
That is.
And so how did you react when you found out that you got cast in the show and as an ingenue?
I honestly don't remember how I felt. I think the whole thing was like, it just sort of happened. I think having my family there was, and I knew that they were going to be doing it too. Like, it didn't, I remember feeling a little bit nervous, but I don't really remember how it felt.
Because you had never been on the stage before.
Yeah,
how would they know? I mean, you could have just bombed.
I had done like a little show in church that my mom directed. But yeah, I don't remember feeling like that though. Mm-hmm. I think I was just confident. And I knew the director that I had was amazing. I still keep in contact with her. And so she just made me feel super comfortable. And it was a great experience. I loved it. And the theater was beautiful. It was such a good start for me.
So the first day of rehearsal comes in, and mm-hmm. they give you this stack of papers saying, memorize all this shit.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, what? Can't I just read off of cue cards or something?
Right? Like, that's too hard. I don't even remember how I did it.
Wow.
I think I was just like, I mean, I'm sure my mom helped me. I do remember, though, because I was chubby, and yeah. I did not look like a typical Oliver, and my brother was in the show, and he was always very skinny. Mm-hmm. And I remember this girl, this little bitch.
Oh.
I heard her talking with her friend, and she was like, why isn't that boy playing Oliver? He looks more like an Oliver.
He looks like he's starving.
And that's when I learned about type. Mm-hmm. And how important that is in this career.
Oh,
I learned
for sure.
Very young.
Well, you know, it's like, you know, Oliver's an orphan living mm-hmm. on the street, but you must have found like where everybody hid all the food.
Exactly. So when I was asking for more, they were like, absolutely not. You don't need it.
This is a diet show.
Oh,
now.
God. So, yeah, that was my start. I loved it.
Bruce Vilanch said that when he was playing Edna in Hairspray, he lost a lot of weight just because of the activity and the choreography.
Show.
Yeah. Was that the experience for you as an 11-year-old?
No. You don't do anything. You just stand on stage and sing. There's not much running around.
Do you remember all the lines from the show?
No, I don't remember any.
Yeah.
I mean, please, I want some more. That's all I remember.
You must remember some of the songs, though, right? Don't
yeah,
the songs stick
I mean,
with you more?
Yes. As Long As He Needs Me, Nancy's Big Song. I sing that in my head every day.
And from Oliver, what led... So your parents must have said, okay, he obviously has a gift. He has a passion. We're going to cultivate this.
Sort of. My parents were very... Like, they wanted all of us to do a lot of things. So it's not like I did that show and then was like thrust into the world of theater for the rest of my life. I did that show, and then the next summer I did Annie, and then the
you
next
played
summer
Annie or the dog.
The dog.
What did you play in Annie? It's
like
all
one
girls.
One of the boys. I know it was terrible.
How did they cast a boy in Annie?
I mean, in the ensemble.
Okay.
I didn't do anything.
You're not like cross dressing as a
no. But that's when I met my first two. When I first saw the first two gay people that I remember being like, oh, I think they're gay. I remember them because they had like Madonna tits in their car that they would wear sometimes and they were like voguing. And I was like, what is this? I was like, I need to know them. But like, I didn't know how to go about it. So I did not like doing Annie, but mm-hmm. it was a pivotal show for me.
Yeah. Do you remember those songs from that?
Well, I mean, yes. Who doesn't love Annie?
It's a hard knock life. And so from there, what was the next kind of big musical production you were in?
I mean, I did the shows in high school.
Yeah.
I wouldn't call them big, but and then I went to college. I didn't do any musical theater.
What did you study in college?
Arts administration.
Very,
very,
sensible job.
Yes, I wasn't out. And so that's why I was like, I need a businessy degree. I don't know why I thought this, but I was like trying to meld like business and arts. And so I spent a lot of money to get this degree that I'll never use.
But you have a good business head on your shoulders.
Yeah, I think so. But like, yeah. I don't think I learned that from Butler. So yeah, I did some opera. I studied classical voice. I did one musical in college. And then my senior year, I came out of the closet and I was like, I want to do musical theater. And I drove up to Chicago and auditioned for a theater, the Marriott Theater in Lincolnshire, because I had seen a show there in high school and loved it. And I was like, that's cool.
That theater is kind of a weird place, right?
Yeah, it's in the round.
For people who don't know, are familiar with this, mm-hmm. it's like it's kind of like the Midwestern equivalent of the Poconos. Oh, in the sense, like, you know, in Dirty Dancing, right? Yeah. It's a hotel and theater multiplex that's in the middle of nowhere.
Oh my God, you're making it sound so cheap.
It's kind of cheesy, you know, and they have all these great productions.
Yes,
there.
It's a very well-known regional theater.
Yeah, and so when you hear about people doing musical theater in the mm-hmm. Midwest, they usually are there.
Yeah, it's like these random theaters in the suburbs.
And it's like an hour to get there from here.
Yeah,
right?
It's like 45 minutes. Yeah, you definitely have to drive.
You live out there.
No, you just commute.
And it's not like Dirty Dancing where all the dancers and actors are like fucking each other and stuff.
I mean, that does happen.
You know, and sort of playing like hustlers, like they're entertaining the senior citizens after the show.
It's a show. It's a Broadway show.
Yeah, but it's in a hotel. It's so people spend the night.
It's not a sex palace.
I've definitely met people at the hotel.
Okay. Yeah.
It has a reputation.
When I like, need to spend the night.
Among musical theater people, it has a reputation of being sort of like a place where a destination theater where people stay the night and catch a show and sometimes even watch it several times in the weekend. Just because it's kind of like in the middle of nowhere and it's a very scenic place and it's just like a big hotel that you spend the night.
Yeah, it's a resort.
And so for you, like, you sort of well-known in that scene. And what was your first production there?
So I booked The Producers right out of college. And so I moved up here, actually to Andersonville, and did that show for like, it was like a 4 month long contract. And it was amazing. I had no idea what I was doing. I was like so green.
But you studied dancing or
I didn't.
Or
I had never taken a dance class.
You don't even know how to tap dance?
I didn't.
But you have to
point.
Learn how to tap dance.
Yes,
in the producers.
I have.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm a gymnast. And so I tumble, which is useful for a lot of musical theater shows. And so that helped me and I can sing. So I'm like useful in the ensemble. So that's how I booked these jobs out of college. And I was very far behind on my dance technique, which is why I call myself a performer. I would never say like I'm a dancer, but I do book a lot of work as a dancer.
So at this point, do you know how to tap dance?
Yeah, I tap a lot. I mean, I'm not like the most amazing tap dancer, but I tap in a lot of shows.
Because The Producers, it requires a lot of that stuff. Were you like the Springtime for Hitler, My Name is Rolf guy?
No, I mean, I covered.
I'm from Dusseldorf.
Right. I was born in Dusseldorf, and that is why they call me Rolf. I was not. I covered that part. I did The Producers like 3 different times with the same director. So I kind of ended up doing all of those little roles at some point.
And then at one point in time, we met you at the gym that we work out at, the Cheetah in Andersonville. And I was like, oh, this guy is so charming and funny and attractive.
Thank you.
And then I was watching Here TV
on
the internet, and it was Sherry Vine's variety show.
She's living for this.
And there you are, back.
So funny.
One of her backup dancers.
Yeah.
So you moved to New York City, I guess.
Yeah, so I graduated college. I did like 3 shows in the Midwest here. I took my equity card and was like, I'm moving to New York again. Like, had no idea what I was doing and so broke. But whatever. I moved to New York in like 2008, I think. And I started doing industrials. And I met this boy at this industrial. And he was like, hey, would you be interested in being a dancer for a drag queen? And I was like, yeah, sure. And he was like, okay, her name's Sherry Vine. We're filming. I think the first one I did was her Katy Perry firework parody, Firecrotch. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think that was the first thing I did for her, like the music video.
And so I never realized that Sherry Vine's videos were actually produced. I just think, my mind, I just think she goes around, calls everybody's like, hey, you want to be in this video?
No, she does do that.
She does.
I mean, from then she would, exactly, so much poop. But yeah, that she would just call me and be like, hey, do you want to do this? I mean, but she's great. It's like, it was so fun. It was this world that
she's coming to town next week.
Yeah, that's what Fasto was saying.
Yeah. To Hamburger Mary's.
I know, I don't think I can go, which is sad. It shows. That's so funny. I haven't seen her in years. But yeah, I ended up doing a lot of work with her. And then through that, like with some other queens.
Which other queens did you work with?
Well, I mean, I traveled with Sherry a little bit. With Sherry and Pandora Box and Mimi I'm First did this.
You just made a face.
Did this show. Like they peddled it around to different like casinos.
Yeah.
So I went with them to like Tennessee and we did these shows.
What was the theme of that show?
I mean, they each had their own, like, honestly, I'm trying to remember, but like they each had, Mimi I'm First did like all this Adele stuff. And then Pandora's was like Stepford Housewife-y kind of thing.
And this was after All-Stars, do you think?
Like this when they was definitely... Wait.
Because they were on All-Stars together, and it was just like that kind of like...
That ruined their friendship, yeah.
But I feel like this might have been before.
Okay.
It was definitely way before, yeah.
Okay. But I know that they had been on Drag Race.
Yeah.
But you don't follow the show, so to you, these people were just like anybody.
I didn't at that point. Yeah. Like, I did a little bit, but not as much as I do now.
You were hired gun.
Yeah, ish.
Gun-ish. hired ish. And so the experience for you, you were sort of like known as this kind of like the backup dancer for drag queens.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun. It was like a fun time of my life. Yeah, and then we did Here Tea. I mean, She's Living for This, which was funny. We filmed it at Lips. And it was always like, it just felt so thrown together. But it was so fun.
And did you continue sort of doing musical theater in New York, or did you move back to Chicago? Or
no, so I lived in New York for 4 years, and I was doing musical theater, but everything I was booking was out of town. It was like regional theater. So I would leave for 4 months, come back, and I would be in callbacks for like Broadway shows, and nothing ever worked out. I think because I did not know who I was at that point fully as a performer or as myself. I was so young, and I was still just like learning about myself, what I do, how I want people to look at me. And so I think if I move back there now, I would have a very different experience. So I needed a break. I moved back to Chicago because I knew that I could work here. Life is so much easier in Chicago.
But I mean, you get cast in everything.
I do. I work a lot in Chicago, which is nice. There's only like 4 theaters I can work at.
Oh, because you have to work at an equity one?
Exactly. And yeah, most of them are in the suburbs.
And just kind of quickly tell us like some of the major productions you've done here in Chicago.
Oh, God. Well, I mean, currently I'm doing Cabaret at the Paramount Theater, which have you guys ever
played?
Do
you play an Nazi in it, or?
No, I play like this gender fucked, like lady boy. I'm in the ensemble. I play Herman, a Kit Kat boy, and then I'm one of the two ladies. Ooh. Which
you're
is
like,
fun.
I didn't realize I look so pretty in pantyhose.
No, I didn't realize.
It's time for somebody, for you to become a drag queen and get on
TV. Oh my God,
TV.
I think I would actually love that. If I didn't do musical theater,
you'd be auditioning for Drag Race, probably.
Absolutely. Yes.
You'd make a pretty drag queen.
Thank you. I have photos. I'll show you later. I've done Lacage, and I did like a half drag in Cabaret. Yeah, I love it. I'm like, I want to get better at makeup.
And it's somewhere along this journey, you decided on a whim to start an Instagram account.
Yeah, but that was like years ago. I mean, I started like 4 years ago.
And what made you want to like just start putting photos on Instagram? Because really on social media, you're not very active anywhere else.
Yeah, I guess I'm really not.
But you are passionate about that Instagram account.
I am. I'm like in a lull right now. Like I'm feeling like not very inspired. But I got started. My best friend moved back from Australia and she's a photographer. And she was like, we both had the summer off and she had just learned about hashtags. This is like before hashtags were a thing. And she was like, hey, like if we use hashtags, like your photos can be, they'll like connect you with people and like it'll put out into the world and like a lot of people will see them, blah, 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 blah. So we started messing around with hashtags and it like things progressed pretty quickly. Like big accounts started noticing us and they would like repost our photos. And like my photos at that time were terrible. Like looking back, I'm like embarrassed.
What were some of the hashtags you were using?
Well, they were all like stupid, like white people hashtags, like live authentic and like hashtag, like, I don't
coffee.
Know. Like, yeah, like very like basic accounts, but or hashtags, but there are accounts that make up these hashtags. It's like their account hashtag. So if you use it, they'll see it and then they'll repost it. So I wasn't just like making up random hashtags. Like they were actually linking to something bigger. So we started doing that and
what you wanted to link out into bigger or you were just kind of feeling
I was
out?
Just it was doing it. I was basically just like telling, I was doing what my friend told me to do.
And she's like, take your clothes off and get in bed.
No, that didn't come till later. Like at this point I was just posting like photos of landscapes and then like photos of like interiors or in like some photos of me, but like not naked. But, this one big account, oh my God, what is it called? folk magazine. They have like a ton of followers, and it's a little gay boy in Kentucky who runs the account, and he became a fan of mine, and he would start reposting my like random photos on his big account. And so I would get a lot of followers through that, and like people would come to my page. And then Instagram, I don't know if they still do it, but they used to do this thing where they would make people suggested users, and you would gain like a shit ton of followers over like a month period. And so I got a DM one day from Instagram, and they're like, hey, we're making you a suggested user, congratulations. And it was like, from there, it was crazy. Like, I maybe had like 2,000 followers at this time, and then over the next month I gained like 40,000 followers.
Yeah, because you're at what, like 55,000
now? I'm at, yeah, like something like that.
And most of your photos are more artistic than erotic, but
yes,
obviously the public is responding to the sensuality of your body,
right? Those are the photos that do the best with engagement. And I didn't start doing that until maybe like 2 years ago. I posted this like random photo of me on my bed, obviously. But
and you have a gorgeous bed, by the way.
Thank you. I love design. Yeah. I love my apartment. I live in a studio. And it's but just, I love
Mark
it.
Calls it the cloud.
Oh my God. It feels like a cloud.
It's all white sheets and a lot of marble.
It's a Helix mattress.
So it's a nice bed. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a really nice bed.
Did they send you the mattress?
Yeah, that was like a collaboration I did.
Oh, hot.
But it's one of those like fun like foam beds that like shows up in a round box and then it just like unfurls. Have you seen those?
Does this hold up over time?
What?
Do they hold up?
Yeah, I mean, this one, like, there's no... I sleep on the same side every night, and there's no indentation or anything. It's like, it feels the same as when I opened it.
Yeah, I just don't want to buy, a mattress from Casper or any of those sites.
Why? That,
I don't know. Part of me is just like, I don't trust a mattress that comes rolled up.
That's
like
what I'm saying. That's what I have, and it's amazing. Yeah. No, I get it. It's like a weird concept.
Yeah.
But it's so much easier than, like, trying to lug a spring mattress.
Well, when you
apartment.
Buy a mattress from like a mattress store, there's people that come bring it in and take the
How dare
one.
You? Yeah, but like they're so expensive. Man. These are affordable, and I sleep better on these.
A lot of your photos has you standing on top of your bed, jumping on your bed with a cup of coffee in your hand.
It's
and
empty.
You're wearing very little, and your nice package and gray
Thank
underwear,
you.
And your gorgeous dancer legs.
Performer legs.
Performer legs, yes.
Standing there. Did your mother tell you not to jump on the bed?
Actually, no. That's how I learned how to tumble. I started doing flips on my parents' bed when I was 3. And they're like, wow, he's good. So they put me in gymnastics. So that was never a rule in my house.
And I started reading. I ran across, because we've known you for years, and I knew that you were a backup dancer for Sherry Vine. Mm-hmm. And then one day I was just like reading, as we do, Mark and I, research a lot for the show.
Oh God.
And we stumble upon a blog that was like, these are the 10 most exciting design Instagram accounts you should be following right now. And on top of the list was yours.
And Faust was like, Mark, holy shit, you know that guy from the gym? He's
oh, that's
an Insta
so
stud.
That's so funny. Oh, that was like the first time you realized
I had
that
no
I had
idea because you don't talk about it to anybody.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah, you're very discreet about it.
And I'm not like, I'm not like obsessed with my phone like a lot of, I'm not, I just got in trouble.
I just took the pants because you're clicking them
clicking
nervously.
Them. That's a bad habit.
Go ahead.
I forget what I was saying.
No, I just said, because I was really impressed upon the fact that you're very discreet about this huge career. That's a huge aspect of your life, you know?
It is, but I'm not like obsessed with my phone like a lot of these like Instagram bloggers are. Like, I'm not constantly on my phone like doing Instagram stories or like Instagram live. Like, it's an artistic outlet for me, and I've created this like aesthetic, so it's I think maybe a little more personal than like other blogger types.
It's very curated.
Yeah, it's super curated,
it's
which
not
I like
anyone's
and
paying
I don't
you
like.
For this it's you're just doing it because
I mean,
you
I
love
do
photography
do, exactly I mean most of it is that I do paid collaborations,
but those are very rare.
It's yeah, not it just like depends. Every week. They come in waves, like anything else.
You get sometimes get to stay in a nice hotel. Sometimes they'll fly you out for something, but that's the dessert. That's a cherry on the top of a very elaborate and difficult and challenging work as a photographer. And you're putting yourself out there a lot, and you're giving up a lot of your privacy in exchange for, you know, having guys from all over the world saying, you are so beautiful.
I love it.
Marry
That's why
me.
I do it.
You get hit on a lot.
I mean, I get a lot of, like, DM. You know, I mean, a lot of comments, a lot of direct messages.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's
people
like the
send
same,
you their dick pics.
They do.
And you were saying in one interview that the greasy, oiled up dicks with a flash is the worst thing
you
can do.
I will never under. I'm glad you read that because let's stop those photos.
Oh, yeah.
People don't know how to take photos of their dicks. Like, it's not that difficult, right? I don't know. Maybe it is.
Well, they say, like, most of the time it's like the best looking dicks are the ones that aren't necessarily hard. You want it, like, semi-hard. So it's like you kind of, like, see what it's like, but it's not, like, this raging hard-on.
Yes.
But if you're going to have a raging hard-on, you don't want it greasy. Cause it's
right.
Like,
why is it slimy?
You know, it's like you wouldn't want it, like, a greasy head. You know, that's why you use powder and stuff. You know, powder that dick up.
So are we supposed to get our dicks rock hard and at the same time not lube them up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, take a picture when it's morning wood or something.
Exactly.
You know?
Like, natural light, we need good angles. The angles are the other thing that drives me crazy.
One time we were at a stop sign, and Mark had basically...
His dick out?
No, well, I said I had this really nice boner, and he was like, show it to me. And I unzipped it out, and he pulled out, took my camera, and took a picture of it.
Show me.
I'll show it, pull it out for you. And so we were like, I use that photo all the time on the internet. And people are always like,
oh, that's like your number
who
one.
Who took that photo?
They always want to know who took the photo.
A lot of people ask me that. They're like, who's taking these bed photos of you? And I'm like, I am. But people always ask that about so many photos. Mm-hmm. They're like, who's taking that?
Don't you know what a timer is?
Right. Like, I can, yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So if I can pull it up here. I don't think I have it here on the thing. But keep talking.
You can send it to me later.
Yeah. And so in terms of like these erotic photos and all this. Have you ever hooked up with any of your fans at all? Or I mean, mm-hmm. you don't have to kiss and tell. But I imagine that you get some really good looking people.
Yes. I've actually met some very attractive people through Instagram. And I have hooked up with some of them. And now, of course, they're all, like, in relationships and getting married.
Well, you famously...
Which is fine. I don't want that, but...
You famously did a collaboration with Terry Miller, Dan Savage's very attractive husband.
Oh, yeah. He's such a hubbub.
How did that come to be? Like, did he reach out to you, or did you
Yes,
reach out to
they him? Were actually in town. I think it was for IML, maybe? I don't remember when I first met him, but they were in Chicago. And he was like, hey, I'm in Chicago. No, he posted a photo of him in Chicago, and I, like, did a hand wave emoji, and then he sent me a message being like, oh my god, you live here, we should get together and take photos, because he does all that Mr. Turk stuff, and so he was like, we should take photos in your bed in Mr. Turk speedos. So he came over and we did that.
Yeah,
I was like, okay, fine. I mean, I was like a little nervous because I don't normally have other people in my bed taking photos, but I was like,
because
okay.
You have that illusion.
But I wanted to see,
like,
him
it's
in person.
It's just me.
Well, he's extremely attractive. Like, Mark and I were at IML,
well,
and he was standing
just, like,
there,
crazy.
And he's this giant muscle god, you know. And this is something new because when they started to get better, he was basically like a run of the mill twink, and he's been hitting the gyms heavy. And
well, they're both like super jacked now.
Oh, really?
I feel like Dan Savage is like.
It gets bigger.
Yes. Hashtag it.
Or in your case, it's like.
Never Dan.
This is the photo that I'm in the car. So there it is.
Okay, see, this is like not, if I like got this, if someone sent that to me, I'd be like, okay, I want it like.
It's not
I would
repulsive.
Look at it. I want it like swipe away.
But the flash
away.
Still makes my dick look weird.
It's good
because it looks like
because of the coloring.
Yeah, it looks like I have like
that's
vitiligo.
A nice penis, though.
I have vitiligo on my dick.
Oh my god!
And so, besides your photographs with Terry Miller, like anybody else that you've done stuff with, or
I mean, not so much like collaborations, but like if I'm in different cities, like I'll meet up with people. In alleys or hotel rooms.
But Terry Miller kind of looks like a jacked up, bigger version of you. So in terms of like aesthetically, it was really kind of a clever thing because our minds said,
Daddy-son.
Wow, he got so much big or something. You know, it was a weird like play on the eyes.
Yeah, I like that. And I mean, yeah, daddy.
You I call like your daddies.
I love daddies.
Do you always take these photos with your cell phone, or do you use like a 35mm SLR? Mm-hmm.
It's
and do
all
you
cell phone.
Modify them anyways because there's like areas of the photos that look desaturated.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely have tools to, like, you know, because I created this, like, crazy aesthetic that I'm, like, stuck with now. I mean, I can change it, but it's very specific. So, I mean, I have certain ways that I edit my photos to keep them
in the similar, same kind of neutral color.
Exactly. I mean, my apartment is, like, very what you see. It's all white. And I repainted my walls, like, this super bright white so that I wouldn't have to edit as much. Because sometimes with natural light, like, things like yellow, and then you have to go in and whiten it.
Yeah, like, the white in our living room is not a pure white. It's a very relaxing one, but it photographs really poorly.
Warm. Yeah, it probably photographs yellow.
Yeah. No, it looks kind of greenish.
Oh,
yeah, okay. It's kind of, it's called a snow white.
Oh, so that's a good color, though. All it's a very popular.
White. Yeah. So it's very, it's an off-white that has a lot of blues and greens and brown tones into it.
It looks good. Yeah.
Tell us the story about Peter. You had a fan on Instagram you started having an online relationship with him, and it turned out weird.
Yeah, I fell in love with him.
You fell in love in just your DMs.
Just through DMs. I mean, that's where it started. Okay. So this guy, Peter, he lives in London. He used to, and he was at this when I started talking to him, he was married with children,
which is
like
to a woman,
which, like, that's, like, pretty normal. Like, these are the guys that always come after me in real life and fake life,
because you like typically older
men. Yeah, like, I'm attracted to older guys, and for some reason straight men like me, or they're, like, the ones that would hit on me first.
Mm-hmm. You matched their expectations of what a gay guy is like.
I guess. I, like, fulfill this, like, weird, like, boy fantasy for them. Maybe. I don't know. So I started talking with Peter. He's, like, this handsome, like, bald daddy, like, this salt and pepper goatee. And we would talk every single day. And we ended up switching over to WhatsApp. So we would talk on WhatsApp all the time. And then this other guy started following me. This guy, Christian, like, randomly, also lives in London. This, like, kind of, like, chic gay guy. He, like, works in fashion. And I started noticing that they were friends. And I was like, oh, like, small world. You know, that's, like, social media, small world, whatever. Everyone knows everyone. And then one day, Christian accidentally posted a photo of the two of them together. And I was like, oh, they, like, really know each other. So then I was like, I messaged Peter and I was like, oh, I saw that you and this guy Christian are friends and, like, are hanging out. And then he tells me that they've, like, been secretly dating and that he's thinking about leaving his wife and, like, he's gonna, you know, go off and be with Christian. And I was like, okay,
live in a different continent.
Yeah, I was like, okay, that's crazy. Like, I don't know why you never brought this up before. So then Christian ends up getting crazy, and he starts sending me messages.
How did he even know you existed?
He probably got into his phone.
Yeah, he did. Ah. I think the first message he sent to me, God, I wish I could pull it up, but, like, he blocked me.
Yeah.
Whatever. But he...
Yeah, screen caps, baby. Screen caps.
Oh, my God. I should have. I'm not that quick.
You have to save the receipts.
Oh, my God.
He was threatening you.
Threatening. He was like, you can't just go around, like, sending nude photos to everyone's partners. He's like, you have a reputation, and, like, everyone's talking about it. I was like, what? I was like, you don't
Everybody's
know anything about
you?
Me. Yes, I'm like, I don't.
I think you showing your body to the public is part of your brand.
Exactly. I'm like, I'm not being shady at all. I'm like, whatever. I don't even know who this guy is.
Peter probably told me, oh, he just does that with everybody. Don't worry about it, dude.
The whole thing was so weird. And Christian, he was just getting very aggressive with me. And I was like, okay, you're clearly crazy.
Yeah.
So then they came to New York to get married, apparently. And I knew Peter was coming because he was like, hey, I'm coming to New York. I might come to Chicago to see you. And I was like, okay. Like, that's so random, but that would be fun. And so he gets to New York. I get a Facebook message from Christian that's like, are you in New York right now? And I was like, no, I'm in Chicago. Why? He was like, well, Peter and I are here in New York. We're getting married. He's like, so I'd appreciate it if you stopped messaging him. And I was like, what? You people are crazy.
That relationship's not going to last.
No, I actually don't think they're together now, because Christian recently just got back on Instagram and started following me again, which I think is so bizarre. But I stalked him a little bit. I went on his page, and it looks like he's, like, single again, living in, I think they moved to Spain or something. I don't know. But
so these guys have
I really
money.
Miss Peter. Yeah, I mean, Peter was, like, very wealthy, which is why I loved him.
you could still have him if Christian's
out
of the picture.
I know. I've tried to find him again, but he's like not on social media, and I don't know his last name.
Wow.
Well, it's so sad. And
you're sure he's a real person? You're not getting catfished? It's not Christian pretending to be both of these people?
Oh, God, that would be crazy. Who has the time and energy for that?
Oh, my God, crazy
people.
But
it's possible.
You know,
I haven't catfished before. Yeah.
Yeah. There's some, we had a guest on the podcast come and he talked about an experience. He was catfished over a series of years.
What?
You know, and then eventually the catfisher, stole his identity and was catfishing other people with his identity.
That is so strange.
Yeah.
And if you know, are a reasonably attractive person, you know you've made it when somebody on Scruff or Grindr is using your pictures.
Right.
Or creates
a Facebook account with your photos.
We just got one today. Somebody who listens to the show sent us a message on our Feast of Fun page on Facebook.
Oh, I didn't see.
Saying, Mark, be careful. You must make all your photos private because people are using your photos.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, baby, I'm a public figure.
Exactly. It's like,
I can't.
Who cares at that point? It's like, whatever.
But, you know, some of the listeners of this podcast, they think that they have a very, you know, in some ways we do have an intimate relationship with them.
Mm-hmm.
We don't consider them just an audience. We consider them friends.
Totally.
And, you know, whenever we consider them friends because we go out of our way to educate them and inform them in ways that makes a healthy symbiotic relationship.
I love that.
But other entertainers and actors don't understand how to develop that process. And so they feel very freaked out when the audience reaches out to them. Whereas we expect the audience to do that with us.
Yeah, isn't that the whole point?
Of podcasting?
Of, like, just any social platform.
Yes and no. I would say, you know, I think sometimes good fences make good neighbors. And, you know, I think having healthy boundaries with anybody is the premise of a good relationship.
Right.
But and so for I think a lot of people get into show business or entertainment or media, they don't quite grasp the idea that other people are going to be staring at them. And I've seen this happen a lot on stage. A performer will get up on the stage and suddenly have a mental breakdown and be like, why are you people staring at me?
Oh my God, what?
And I'm like,
who are these
people? These are like open mic nights, you know?
Oh, sure.
And I'm like, well, you walked into the stage.
We're like, you chose to do this.
You used your feet to stand in a spotlight, God. And we're expecting you to do something, and you can walk off. And part of that is we have a very confused idea. Like when we watch television or a film, we don't realize that this is, you know, years of screenwriting and editing and lighting and filming and rehearsing and costuming. We think, you know, Black Panther and Wakanda is real. And
oh my God, have you seen it?
It's a phenomenal film.
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, go see it.
Yeah, I need
to. This letter about these photos sounds like it's some kind of weird spam, though.
No, that's like a sincere person.
This person only has 18 people following.
Well, he says he's never on Facebook.
And it's a she.
Or they.
You know, it's a she.
But only their gender.
You know, well, her gender expression is feminine. And so, yeah, and she only has like three posts or something. Like, it's weird. I don't trust it.
Before we forget, I want to find out what happened between you and Terry Miller. Like, how's your friendship? And did you guys develop any kind of, like, camaraderie because of this photo shoot? Or was it a one-off?
No. We stayed close for a while. He came back to see me one weekend. Which is, we stayed.
Was it a romantic relationship? Because I know him and Dan Savage have an open marriage, so.
Yeah, it was like what everyone would expect from them, I think.
Like, what do you mean?
From them, so it was more than one.
No. But they're like super open about everything.
Mm-hmm. So they were very comfortable with that
exactly.
experience. You were more uncomfortable than they were.
I mean, I don't think I was uncomfortable. It's, like, rare that I feel uncomfortable.
Uh-huh.
It was maybe, like, a little bit confusing, but it was fun.
Confusing for you?
Confusing for me, just because, like, I didn't know, like, what sort of expectations there were. Yeah, it was quick and fun, and it ended, and now we don't talk.
I know, I have those kind of experiences, too, especially when I was a lot younger. you know, and it to me, it is like, I'm not that kind of person. Like, if I have sex with somebody, you know, I'm like, let's hang, let's get to know each other.
Right. And, like, it doesn't have to be just to, yeah, exactly.
You know.
And to me, it's very foreign to like have that kind of exchange with somebody. And then they suddenly like, hey, I like the time we had together, but you know,
Faust is the kind of guy that you like after you have sex. You're like, the door's over there,
like right away.
Yeah,
no, I'm a talk show host at heart. You know, I want to get to know the people. You know,
and, yeah, you're definitely a talker.
Yeah, and so you know, and that's what I think you and I have that in common. We explore the world through our mouths.
Yes, like right,
not in a sexual way, but it, you know, if my friend said it's like, you were born to be a performer, you know, you were born to be somebody who connects with people through your oration skills.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a sexual thing.
It's both.
But what's interesting for you is that you've sort of connected with the world through photography, which is a nonverbal form of expression. And a lot of your photos don't even have you in them.
Yeah. Because I follow so many accounts where like people every single day, they post another photo of themselves. And, like, I do like their accounts, but I just get so bored.
Yeah.
It's hard to look after selfie after selfie after selfie.
Yeah, and it's just this weird, especially when I step away from social media for a while, I'm like, wow, like, does this matter? And, like, it does. I mean, social media does matter. It's, like, a huge part of the world right now. But, yeah, I could never just post photos of me because there are so many other things. I love design. I love furniture. I love coffee, clearly. But, you know, I've always loved going to coffee shops, so I like to photograph them.
Are you like a Starbucks snob? Like, you won't go in there?
I hate Starbucks. I worked at Starbucks, though. I was shift supervisor.
So you're like,
at Starbucks.
They're dead to you.
I mean, I just like don't like their coffee.
See, I'm a big believer in their main coffee, but they came up with this new product called Blonde Espresso, which I'm convinced it's their way of weaning us off of coffee, but still paying high prices for coffee, because coffee is disappearing. What? Like, in 20 years, if we don't manage to develop chocolate and coffee plants grow in a very specific region of the world that, because of climate change, is disappearing quickly. And so the prices of these exotic beans is going to go up. And so having a cup of coffee 20 years from now or 40 years from now is going to be impossible. It'll be like having saffron.
God.
You know, the price of saffron's really high.
Well, thank God I'll be dead.
You don't expect to live a long life?
I mean, I don't know.
Do you have a lot of enemies or something?
So many stalkers. I'm
Christian's
scared.
Coming for you.
Oh my God. No, but like, I mean, I'm not scared of death, but I'm not like, I'm going to die young, but I don't ever, I don't think about it. I think I'd be fine either way. I wouldn't know the difference, right?
So what are some of the other weird experiences you've had on Instagram? Like, from people like writing you letters, or is it just like, you know, have you had blocking people?
I mean, I've actually had like, oh God, I've had pretty good luck with my followers. Like, people are pretty normal. I do have like I have this boy that I call Daddy. He's younger than me, but he's like so sweet. But he sends me underwear like once a month, just, and it's not like anything sexual, but he just wants to see me post photos in the underwear. Like, I don't need to like give a shout out or anything, but we have this like sort of weird relationship, and he got really insecure about it one day. He was like, I feel weird about this, like you calling me daddy, and he's like, I just, you know, I don't know what this is, and I feel like you're like making fun of the situation, and I'm like, Daddy, no, I'm not. I love this.
Are you putting your phone on a tripod, or are you like...
No, for my bed photos, I just put it on my dresser.
Somebody sent us underwear once, and we did pose in it, and you know, surprisingly enough, nobody ever sent us underwear again.
I didn't see the photo. Was it cute underwear?
There were weird underwears.
It
was one of those sex pig brands or something like that.
And, oh, yeah.
And one of the underwears was flesh toned.
Oh.
And that was a different one.
And it looks so weird. One. Like, where, like, no one would look
over. Oh, yeah. It was weird. Like, that was somebody
I've actually
else.
Been trying to find flesh tone underwear.
It looked like we...
I want them.
It made your body look like you were like a pig or something.
Oh, yeah. That's weird.
It was weird.
It was not good was look not, for anybody.
It was
anybody.
Not good look. Ew. No, I actually still have the pair. They're very durable, but they're also very thick, too, so it was one of those things that you can...
Thick underwear?
They were thick, and so it's like warm. Like, you can only wear them in the winter, which is that's why they've lasted so long, because there's only certain days I can wear them. I actually have one of those as a bathing suit, too.
Oh, my God.
Do you make it like a... one thing we've made is a Amazon wish list, mm-hmm. which only one person has ever...
bought you something?
Yeah, and you know...
It was Eric, right?
Eric, in Texas. Thank you.
Oh, my God, cute. And what was it?
I think he was mostly like moisturizers. I guess he was trying to tell us to take better care of our faces. Because I'm like all there I put, you know, video, photo equipment, cables, mixers, you know.
And oh, sure.
I put the face creams on.
He puts like dog food.
And yeah, you know, Jesse's dog food is expensive. If anybody wants to buy Jesse's dog food, just go to our Amazon wish list.
What brand do you use?
Feast of Fun.
Yeah.
I don't know. What is the brand we use? Well, we don't want to give it away because they're not paying for it. So.
Yeah.
Suck it, but we'll tell you if you guys want to know. Private message.
It's on our wish list. You'll see it there.
I've never thought. So you're saying if I created an Amazon wish list,
yeah,
I could like link it in my story and like people would go on there and buy me stuff.
Yeah,
I would recommend that.
I'll try it.
You know, it doesn't hurt to ask. I think like you know, that for a lot true. Of people who create content, I tell them love is a verb, and mm-hmm. I think you know people appreciate what you do. As I, you know, like I know the audience that listens to the show, they care deeply about us and our well-being, and we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for them.
Right. Exactly.
We would have, if they were not interested, we would not just indefinitely do this podcast that goes nowhere, you know?
Right.
And so they, because a podcast or like an Instagram account is a very impersonal thing, either by liking it or hitting thumbs up or sharing it with people mm-hmm. is one way, but you know, PayPaling money or buying a subscription on Feast of Fun Plus or sending us an item from our Amazon wish list is another way of doing it. But it's giving people the opportunity to close that circle by expressing the idea that they're part of the show. They're telling you, I believe in this program and I want this to continue, and therefore I'm going to get involved by financially supporting it
yeah.
or becoming, you know, some people like they like every status update that we do.
No, that's what I love about social platforms. It's like you could never actually meet the person, but you feel connected to mm-hmm. them. That's how I feel about Instagram.
Mark, what do you think about like the relationship between the audience and the content creator?
Well, you know, it's they usually have that share, they share that same kind of love for whatever it is that they come mm-hmm. for, you know, and people that listen to this podcast, you know, they know us and now they've gotten to know you. And so because they know us, like when we meet them, sometimes it feels like I know who they are because they have much of the same interests.
Totally. Yeah.
You know, they're interested in, you know, artists' journeys and weird news and what's happening in the world.
And even though podcasting was one of the first forms of content on the internet besides mm-hmm. blogs, like before videos were really sort of a big thing and YouTube was a big thing, people were listening to audio podcasts, and in some ways it's forcing people to have a conversation and meet each other face to face, and hearing that exchange is something that we're losing out in this age of social media where everything's like a meme or a soundbite mm-hmm. or a quick
yes.
bite. Yeah, everything's become a meme, and a lot of people are rallying against the meme now. So they're saying it's like it's the least amount of work to make something funny. You
yeah,
know? That well, it's like there's no real joke there.
Happy or die.
Funny or die. Just laid off a bunch of their. Brian Sweeney just shared an article about
interviewed
one of the founders of Funny or Die, talking about how Facebook has just basically killed Funny or Die. It used to be you could make make money from actually making a video, but now you have to pay Facebook to boost it, and then it's just that's cutting into all your money. And so Facebook is becoming this giant monolith, and people, that's all they do. They go to Facebook, they look through Facebook, and then they're done.
Yeah.
They don't venture beyond that. So anybody who's ventured into the podcast realm, thank you.
Well, and for us, it's you know, like the comments section of our website is virtually non-existent. And, you know, just 5 or 6 years ago, it was extremely active.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think it's changed? Because
Facebook's sucking all the activity. Yeah. So they can interact with us on social media. They can interact with us on Instagram. Right. But for them, it's one extra step.
Mm-hmm.
And part of me, like, you know, is in the mindset of just shutting all that off and just going back to feastoffun.com and leaving it there exclusively. But
yeah,
we do need to, you know,
branch out, let people know.
We don't want to isolate ourselves, because ultimately this podcast is about, like you, is about building community. It's about reaching out to people. It's about making collaborations and sharing ideas with the world. And so we want to be really mindful about how we use these social media platforms and not reduce everything into a soundbite. And that means ourselves, you know, it's like, it means like posting a photograph that is challenging, that makes a person stop and think and reflect upon their lives. And in some ways, like, that's what I'm really excited about talking to you about your work, because in some ways you said in an interview that you're taking the same photo again and again, but that's kind of a performance, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. That's what I like doing. I mean, I've also, I think in that same interview, because, I mean, there are so many, like, hot guys on Instagram who post just, like, their naked bodies, and they have incredible bodies, and people, you know, they'll get, like, 20,000 likes. It's crazy.
Adam Charlton, baby.
Who's that? I don't follow.
He's a British bodybuilder who lives in Florida. He's
just gorgeous. Yeah, you like those big muscle guys, right? I do. That's like your thing.
Yeah, and baby eyes. Baby face. I want, like...
You want a baby with muscles.
Yeah.
Right.
I want protein!
Oh, my God. Daddy.
Well, I'm a daddy. I'm looking for a baby. No, I'm just kidding. But there's something interesting about your work, because you're sort of tapping into people's latent sexuality, but through a fashion approach.
Yes. And like my thing is like sensuality versus sexuality. I think I'm in life a sensual person, not so much a sexual person. And I think I try to convey that through my photos. So like my bed photos, yes, they are like sexual because I'm in my underwear standing on a bed, but it's more so about the image. Like
it's not pornographic.
It's not pornographic. Yeah.
You do have a nice bulge though.
Thank you so much.
Do you use a cock ring for those photos?
I actually don't. I just like sit high. So when I wear underwear, it just
pops.
It pops. Yeah.
Okay.
What are some of your guilty pleasures on Instagram?
On Instagram?
Yeah, like...
Oh, like accounts I follow?
Yeah, like something that you go, I really shouldn't be looking at this, but I can't help myself.
Oh my God, that's actually a really good question. What? I can't think of anything.
I'm obsessed with Janae Marie Kroc. She was one of the world's most famous bodybuilders, and she's recently transitioned, and she's just like... Most recently, she's going like, fuck with the gender binary. I'm going to be the most muscular, roided out woman there is. And she is like, she gives no fucks.
She's huge.
She's super muscular.
She-Hulk.
Like, shoulders are boulders.
Yeah.
Like, how?
And she's got this pretty little blonde hair.
Oh, cute. Mm-hmm. So like she's a like, lot of people in her neighborhood.
She's kind
of
like, Karen from Finance. All jacked up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, you know, on gamma radiation. So I really love her Instagram account a lot. And of, you know, it's also fun to see, like, not just ex porn stars that are sort of developing bodybuilding careers like Jake Burton, but also like
that
artists that draw the, if you swipe up, you can see like artists who draw average everyday men and make them into kind of look like porn stars.
Oh, I love that. I love the artists on Instagram.
And that is that artist that I'm talking about. I'll pull it up. Oh, this is the problem too. It's like it refreshes it too fast for me. But I don't know, off the top of your head, anything like that really stands out for you that
no,
people
I'm
might
actually
want to
like I'm up? Trying to like swipe through, and I feel so boring. I follow like very, I like to follow people that I know. Like I don't follow a lot of people on Instagram because then it's like you never see the posts from people. So I follow a lot of people I know, like friends and family.
The graphic designer for Steamworks, the gay bathhouse, Curtis Jensen, he actually posts some really great stuff on Instagram of sort of photos where he's being sort of attacked by the
pencils
by San Francisco.
there was a news article out today saying that the streets of San Francisco are so diseased that it rivals slums in like the developing country, because they've done studies and they're like, they found so many needles per square foot in San Francisco and human feces everywhere.
Oh my god. Yeah. Let's go.
Mark and I, one time we were trying to get a shortcut through San Francisco, mm-hmm. and we, you know, San Francisco has these long alley-like staircases.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just, you know, going down, and there's no way to escape it, and then there was just somebody just taking this monster shit.
No.
And it was covered with flies.
Oh, my God.
And it was like a scene from Indiana Jones where you have to reach through the keyhole with covered in bugs. Like, you just had to walk through this wall of flies.
And you smelled it first, and you're just like, well, I'm halfway up this mountain already.
You're stuck.
And you're just like, oh, why didn't somebody just clean it up or something?
Oh, that's disgusting.
And it's like, and these flies are all over you, and you're just covering your ears, your mouth, and your eyes.
I can't do that. I can't deal with
poo. And you're worried these flies are going to go in someplace. It's terrifying. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was just like, I've never been more scared in an urban environment than I have been being in San Francisco.
Oh my God.
And I live in Chicago. I've been to the Chicago South Side. I'm not scared of the South Side. I am scared in San Francisco sometimes.
Yeah. Don't you feel like Chicago's so like, clean? I mean, not in the way that people are like, Chicago is so clean and beautiful, but like, there's not much that like happens.
Well, it's like when the crime happens.
A lot of murder on the South Side.
A lot of murder.
It happens during the warm months. Yeah. Like, people are like, there's been, you know, all these shootings. I'm like, well, it's because we're kind of making up for it because nothing happens in the winter.
Yeah. Well, that first warm day of spring, like there's always, like that first weekend, there's always like 32 people shot this weekend.
Oh, God.
Because, you know, people are out and about and they're like, they're still pissed about Christmas. They're like, I finally see your ass out on the street, and they shoot them.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I was just in a music video this week for the Big Diddies.
I'll look them up. I don't know them.
It's a Chicago mom rockers.
Are they actual moms?
Three of them are moms. That's and amazing. They're all former like women from different rock bands, and they got together and they decided to do these parody songs. And their latest thing was
Sherry Vine.
Kind of like Sherry Vine, yeah. More Than Words, they're doing a parody of Donald Trump, mm-hmm. and it's based on everything Donald Trump has ever said.
Oh my God.
And they got a clown and me in a wrestling singlet to do the video. And the first day we shot it, I was like, I had like fasted a little bit.
Wait, this was more than a one day shoot?
They fucked up the shoot.
So I showed up for the shoot. I had put on body makeup.
You were ready.
I was ready.
You were
contoured. I was pumped. I had done like a lot of calisthenics to get a good pump. I was ready to go. We shot this stuff. It looked fantastic. And then, like, 2 days later, something happened.
Oh my God, moms.
Yeah.
And we have to shoot this again. And I was like, okay, I'll, you know. And I looked at my schedule and it was like impossible to do it. So the very last possible day they could shoot this, I came back in and it was like an hour before I had to go to work. And I was like, I didn't sleep well the night before. I was kind of bloated and I had too much lasagna for breakfast.
For breakfast.
It's the Garfield diet.
And I just look so.
I'm sure you don't.
Thick.
Look thick.
In the video.
Is thick bad?
I think people will think that I look cute and everything, but there's parts of the videos I go, I can do so much better.
Well, it's also, you know, angles. Do a lot.
So angles are everything.
There's one scene where like Foster looks like has these little tiny legs, and you're like, Foster's got like
the worst.
His legs are very strong.
Right. But they're shooting me from above, and so my shoulders look really big. But it's like
chicken legs. That's like all those guys at the gym.
I'm like, and I pride myself on not being like white meat. You know what that is, right? All breast and wing, no thigh or leg.
No thigh or leg. Yeah, that's amazing.
And I was just like, oh man, you know. But I love these girls, these moms, and. They're coming on the show next week to talk about their Donald Trump video and
More Than Words. Right?
More Than Words.
Is the video going to premiere then, or is it already out?
It's up. It's really cute. It's cute. It's actually pretty good. It's based on that group with the long hair. More Than Words.
Oh, yeah.
That song's like 10 years old, right? Or something.
Mm-hmm. It's like 20
years old. I was going to say it's been out a while. Yeah.
Mother had to do just by saying I love you.
Yeah. I love that song, actually.
What you say.
That's a good song.
I think it was a one hit wonder for them.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I have no idea who, like, what band that was or what group.
It wasn't Nelson.
Extreme?
Or something like that.
For
a while, there was like long haired duos that were singing like these ballads aimed at women in the late 90s.
Right. It was such a good time.
And women be like, oh, they're so sweet. They're so romantic. Why don't you grow your hair out?
Ew.
You look so good in long hair. And you're like, if I grow up my hair out, I look like Captain Caveman.
Just buy a wig.
Your hair used to be much longer.
No, I used to have like shoulder length hair.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked fucking crazy, you know.
My God.
It wasn't feminine. It was
oh, yeah,
very...
That song came out in 1990.
Yeah.
That's old.
That's 28 years ago.
That's crazy.
It's really old.
What group is it?
Extreme.
Oh, you were right. Wow.
No, I mean, I know you think the song's really good, but what's the name of the group? Tyler Whitmer, it's so great to hear your story. What are you going to do with all this stuff? Like, where are you going to go with your Instagram account? Are you going to shut it down now? Or
yeah, I actually just shut it down during this conversation. I was like, I hate it.
Delete.
No, I kind of want to like rebrand myself a little bit. I think it's so curated right now, and I love that. But I think I want to add more of me into it.
Mm.
So it's like, I don't know, like through Instagram videos, like, I don't know. I just need, I need to do something different. Just cause I'm kind of like bored with myself, but
do
I love
it. Do
you
want to do a collaboration?
A collaboration?
Yeah. I'll just like get in my underwear and jump on your bed and spill coffee.
Just like walk down the street. Don't spill coffee. I'll kill you.
I'll wash the sheets.
You guys buy me new sheets.
Or we can make it look like you can spill coffee on your butt and make it look like you had diarrhea on your bed or something like that.
That's not my brand.
But it could be.
It could be.
Wild and crazy is your brand. What words would you describe your brand as? Architecture?
I mean,
you have like really pretentious words. Let me pull this up.
Do here. I come off as pretentious?
A little bit.
Thank you.
Lifestyle, menswear, skin.
So yes, about you skin. Have a great sense of humor about
aesthete.
Yourself.
Lifestyle. Yeah, I can't take aesthete. This shit too seriously because it could disappear.
All photos taken with an iPhone 7, and I'm looking here. You have an iPhone 10.
Oh
liar.
My God, I need to update that. But I've only posted like 4 photos in the new year with this new phone.
You are a liar.
Oh my God, I don't even. Yeah.
Has any like coffee
like
company sent you
bougie.
Coffee or anything like that? Because you really have a lot of lattes in here.
Well, don't you live above a coffee shop?
Yeah, I live above La Colombe.
Okay.
In Andersonville. Come visit. yeah, it's great. I, like, don't make coffee
I've
in my
never
apartment.
Been in that building.
Can we, like,
upstairs.
You know what we need to
you
do?
Haven't? That's no. Shocking.
I know.
We'll do a live,
so many.
Let's do a live video from inside J. Tyler Whitmer's bed.
And that way it'll be gone in 24 hours.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And only,
so it
like,
doesn't have to really... Foster won't interrupt your brand too much.
Yeah.
It would be fun, but that's what I'm saying. I want to do that kind of stuff. Let's do it.
And we,
let's
you
do
can
a single
the...
white female themed one.
Yes.
And you'll be like tied up in the bed and we'll be like...
I already did that with Terry.
Oh.
Kidding.
It gets bigger. Much bigger. J. Tyler Whitmer. You can follow him on Instagram at J. Tyler Whitmer.
Follow for follow.
And if we see Sherry Vine this weekend or next weekend, we'll. It's
yes,
weekend, right?
Yes, she remembers
next
me. Week.
Next weekend.
Yes.
We'll tell her you said hi.
Please do.
She'll be like, who?
Exactly. Bitch.
Oh, he won't be in my videos anymore. Oh, he moved out of New York. Oh, I thought he died.
Probably.
I used to know a gay guy like that. He's dead.
Oh my God.
Thank you so much for joining and telling us all the truth. I've always wanted to hear what happened between you and Terry.
Oh God.
But thank you for spilling the tea.
giving me a scratch the surface.
Glaring this look.
I want to remind folks that we can't do this podcast without your support. So if you're not a Plus member yet, sign up today at feastofun.com/plus and become a member, because your contribution to the show is what makes this show happen. You can visit our Amazon wish list. Just go to Amazon and search for our Feast of Fun wish list.
I'll put the link on the show notes.
Yeah, put the link on the show notes.
Know? And with J. Tyler Whitmer.
Buy it all. Jesse's starving. He needs new dog food.
He's like,
right, Jesse? Come here, Jesse. Come on. Tell the good people you need food. Tell them you're hungry. Oh, come on.
Feed her. He doesn't bark when you...
He doesn't bark on command. Come on.
Oh, he loves Mark so much, he will never bark at him, but he'll bark at me.
He'll growl at Fausto.
Mark's the favorite.
Oh, yeah.
That's how...
He's my favorite,
German
too.
Shepherds... Thank you. That's how German Shepherds are. They just get attached to that one person.
Well, he realizes that I'm possessed by demonic spirits, so... He's just trying to help me. That's all I'm like.
So sweet.
Jay Tyler, people can also catch you in an ongoing production of Cabaret
at the Paramount Theater in Aurora.
Willkommen. Aurora's having its first gay pride this year.
I know.
It's going to be family friendly.
I'm waiting for them to ask me to be in the parade.
I think we should go and make it unfamily friendly.
Let's do it. I do it every day in Aurora.
Yeah, just open up your Instagram, Grindr, Snapchat.
Right.
And get busy, honey. Bye,
yeah,
everybody.
Bye. Mm-hmm.